House will come to order. The next bill for our consideration on third reading is House Bill 37. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 37 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to public utilities, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 37, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blackburn? Blake. Blake? Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Bird? Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm. Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 37, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 37 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move House Bill 38 to third reading, Amendment 1. Make sure you have the corrected copy. There was some confusion, and so there are two copies. Grab the corrected one. What this amendment essentially does is the main discussion when we talked about the PACs, our concern seemed to be with the five statewide elected officials and the amount of money that they might be able to receive from the PACs. I had some concerns about it myself. We worked on this pretty hard a couple years ago to try to get it right, and I think it's probably the legislation as it is with the state representatives and senators being allowed the $3,000 per PAC is probably adequate. I decided to open it up to conversation concerning just those five elected officials, and this would allow them to receive an unlimited amount of PAC money. I'd stand for questions.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against kind of the amendment, I guess I will say this. It is not terrible. But, this does answer sort of the bulk of my concerns in the conversation we had on Friday. You know, when you have those statewide offices, you've got a lot more scrutiny going on these sorts of donations, and so this does make sense in some ways. However, I would say that even though this might be an acceptable ending point, we should be thoughtful about where we are in the process. And this bill has a long way to go before it crosses the finish line, and I would submit that if we stay where we are, we leave the bill as it is, we're much more likely to end up here than we are if we go ahead and change it right now. So I would urge you to go ahead and defeat this amendment. I guarantee you this isn't the last time that we'll see this thing again.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think this is a good compromise, at least to allow for bigger donations to statewide campaigns, because I think that's where the real concern is. When you look at several of these campaigns spending, you know, $500,000 and upwards, that it allows for some larger donations. And keep in mind with the PAC, if they choose, there's no limit to what they can spend if they want to run their own commercials and things. I personally feel it's better to at least give it to the candidate, so the candidate is having to stand behind the statement that's out there versus some unknown PAC making the statements that don't have that same person behind them.
Representative Zwanitz or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the amendment, Dan, for it, kind of. It does strike a better balance, I think, between the will of this body and what I know from the interim will be scrutiny on the other side of the building. And there may be a possibility with this amendment you might not see it come back for conference committee. And not that we should base our legislation on what the other House does or their desires, but from the interim committee, with the multitude of views on this piece of legislation, I do think this does try to strike a better balance and allows there to be freedom in elections for statewide officials and to be able to compete for what's the concern of several members of the interim committee on what are statewide races that cost, you know, can cost up to $500 or $1 million now, while still somewhat insulates the sanctity of this body on one person not being able to come in or one PAC coming in and buying an election for a state legislative race. And so I do think it attempts and is a good faith effort to find a mutual agreeable piece of legislation as we move forward in the process. So I would generally encourage you to vote for the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I think there's merit in understanding that anything we do here will be renegotiated once we get feedback from the other side. And I think it was a good effort to kind of find a mix here that would be maybe a little more supportive than what we saw with the earlier vote. So I think there was some merit in this one, and so I like it a little, but not quite as much as the amendment that we put on it yesterday. I think was a better bill, and that's where I'd like to see it voted in.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the bringer? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd hoped it'd be a little more conversation on that. I agree with the first speaker from the center of the state. Very, very good argument. This thing hasn't been through the process like I'd like to see it, through an interim and a discussion and a study. But the bill itself kind of went through that process, and we had a lot of objection to it. And the way it's been amended to read is pretty much back to where we were, where we decided the campaign contribution should be. 2 years ago, we decided that. So I guess vote your conscience. I think that it is I think it's a bit of a compromise, and it addresses the main concerns I have, which is campaign large campaigns like the state electeds have been getting into recently. I'd still stand in favor of this compromise. I'm sure the other House will have things to say about it as well. Thank you. Move for a vote.
We're voting for third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38, the corrected copy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed the House. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. I told you, that's the second time. House Bill 38, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Hanel.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart? Aye to no. Miller? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 15 no.
House Bill 38. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 38 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 39 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 39, having been read three times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake. Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Dayton,
no.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi. Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 no.
House Bill 39, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 39 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 40 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 40 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Pipirinen, Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60-aye.
House Bill 40 having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 40 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55.
House Bill 55 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 55, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
Moniz,
aye. Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov, Pipirinen,
Pinnell,
Reeder, Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60-aye.
House Bill 55, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 55 has passed the House. Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our North Gallery over here, I want to direct your attention to our new Superintendent of Public Instruction, Ms. Jillian Balow, and her family. This is her husband and Peyton, Jack, and their niece, Kira. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 64 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As discussed earlier, this is one of those amendments that I'm moving to delete the enacting clause, and so if you...
Representative Nicholas, do you want to formally make that motion to delete the enacting clause?
I would move to delete the enacting clause on House Bill 64 through Amendment 1 to House Bill 64.
And you'll withdraw it at the appropriate
time? Right, and I will draw the motion at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. So I think you folks know what this is. This is the 64-page bill that modifies the UCC Titles 1 and Title 7. And the reason that I bring this motion is because, once again, it's I don't like voting on bills that I don't understand what they do and what they say. And so I sat down over the weekend and I went through Title 1 and Title 7 and tried to put together exactly what this did and how it influenced the laws, why it's necessary, where it came from, and quite honestly, I couldn't figure it out. So, you know, vote your conscience and what you think about it. I just thinking this bill is too complicated for me to decipher and to understand, and I simply don't want to vote on it, and so I want to have a vote that we can discuss it, and you can vote it down or vote it up. If we vote it down, we can come back. To me, it probably ought to go through judiciary along with corporations. I need a lot more explanation than the handouts that were provided, and so I'm just opposed to the bill because it's just more than I can intake and make a responsible, reasonable vote on. Thank you.
Chairman Swanister Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask the body to resist this amendment. This was an interim committee bill. I went back and we spent at least 4.5 hours in the interim discussing the bill, going through it page by page. And for those of you members who saw it, is a 135-page bill. It was on the website. It's an interim committee bill. It was up on the 27th of December, and so it's been out there for 3 weeks. Certainly we had a committee hearing on it, and no major discussion in any part of it. I actually contacted two of the lawyers who helped work on this over the interim, and they both said they read over it, and it was so uneventful of a bill, they didn't feel like they needed to come to the interim and present it. I did promise to you all in Committee of the Whole that if anyone had questions on the UCC code or a certain part of the statute, come see me. I had one legislator do so, the bringer of this amendment, and I did turn over the 200 pages of notes on what each section does and why it was necessary in the eyes of the UCC Commission. Then I saw this amendment this morning, and so I do know it's a behemoth of a bill. I don't profess to understand the UCC code. I'm not an attorney. But I do know that we had a lot of very smart people working on this in the interim. The University of Wyoming gave us their law professor who oversees this area of contracts, and she devoted, countless hours presented to the committee regarding the bill. 47 states have passed it. It's been around since 2001, 2003, so I'd like to think that if there were major issues, that we would have addressed them by this time. And again, this is a uniform commercial code. It helps Wyoming stay on track with every other state and their laws to make sure that retail transactions between states or manufacturing or transportation issues are all relative between states. And so certainly was no testimony in the interim that it was controversial. Most people found it kind of boring. I do feel it's had the necessary level of scrutiny to bring it before this body, as we've brought UCC revisions in the past, and would be happy to answer any specific questions. If there's a portion of it that is, opaque or difficult to understand, I would do my best to present to you what I know to help elucidate why we're changing the statutes. But just to come forth and say, I don't understand it, so vote no, is a good fallback. But when it's a committee bill and it's been available for 3 weeks, and we've had a committee hearing and have the information, I would say that it has been reviewed and is appropriate to pass at this time.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. Just to provide a little bit more background to what the Chairman of Corporations said. So as a first step, remember this is a uniform law. So it really is the product of hundreds of hours of labor. And it starts out at the Uniform Law Commission. Wyoming has 3 members of that commission that attend their meeting on an annual basis. And the Uniform Law Commission comes up and really develops these with the sole purpose of having uniformity across jurisdictions, especially when you have these sorts of matters that affect the commerce between the states. And it becomes very important for our businesses, for our bankers, for everybody else, that they have a set of guidelines that they can rely upon and that they know are similar to what they're relying upon all across the United States. And that's really what this bill does. But don't be mistaken. We didn't just say, okay, somebody else has looked at it, so we're going to pass it. Instead, the Corporations Committee appointed a task force to look at this. And I attended only a fraction of the telephone conferences, and I think I was on three or four different telephone conferences regarding this bill. But there were a number of attorneys. There were, as the good chairman said, there were representatives from the law school over the Hill. There were representatives from the executive, and they went through every word. They split out the bill, and they went through every word of the bill. And really, there wasn't much to sniff at. I mean, essentially, for example, the bill talks about electronic documents, and it recognizes the role that now you have electronic bills of lading, electronic signatures on those. Well, what's the impact of the timing of when you actually receive the bill of lading when it's in electronic form? Those are the sorts of things that this goes through. And so the section one is the general section of the UCC, and so you'll see if you go through, there's some changes and tweaks in definitions, some elimination in Title VII. It deals with documents relating to titles, so bills of lading, all those sorts of things. And you'll see if you actually read through, the reason it's so thick is it largely duplicates portions of the statute that are there right now, but because of the change in wording, rather than going through strikeout and replacement all the way through the statute, you just find it's just all put in one place so you can read it. And so the changes are not huge, but they are important because they are consistent with other jurisdictions across the country. And here's, I guess, the final point I would make. If, you know, like I say, your people involved in commerce back home, this is their lifeblood, your bankers. If there's a problem with this, look at your emails, see how many of your bankers, how many of your manufacturers, how many of your retailers have flooded your emails with concerns about this bill. And you'll be lucky to see if you've seen one email about this. It's a good, solid piece of legislation. I'd urge you to defeat the amendment and vote for the bill.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and as former chairman of Corporations, we started hearing about UCC changes in June. We've had testimony all three meetings. We've had large participation, and as the previous speakers have talked about, who did participate, the experts that were involved. I do have the side-by-sides on the analysis of both Articles 1 and 7, and basically the overall arching impact here is to simplify, clarify, and modernize the law governing commercial transactions to permit the continued expansion of commercial practices through custom usages. And for any of you ladies and gentlemen that work in a warehouse or take in receipt of goods, most of you probably today do that in an electronic method. Well, because this code has not been modernized, it is still stated that it's based on a paper receipt. So part of what we're doing here is a codification of current practices that our business people today across the state of Wyoming do and have to do with interstate commerce. So with transportation, with warehouses, with all of these different businesses, these are just minor changes that, in review, just make work that they do today efficient. And so with that, I stand against the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to mention to the 63rd that this document also puts us in line with 47 other states.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the bringer of the amendment? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in quick response, when I got online and looked at the other states and tried to cross-check the changes, they weren't the same. And there's wordsmithing in here that is different than what the other states do. And so we don't have any specifics. All we have is trust me. Trust me and the lawyers that looked at this over the interim, but we're not going to tell you exactly what we're doing, when, where, and how, and why. We're just saying it's a good idea with no real explanation. And that's just not sufficient for me. But I appreciate your vote, and if not, then that's okay, too. Thanks.
And you withdraw your motion?
And I would withdraw my motion. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 64. All in favor signify by saying aye. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's right. You withdrew it. I made him withdraw it, and then I'm trying to vote on it anyway. My bad. House Bill 64, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Northrup? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
House Bill 64, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 64 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 65.
House Bill 65 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 65, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, Winters?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 65, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 65 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 67 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 67, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Kelke.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? McKim, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Barlow, are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no.
House Bill 67, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 67 has passed the House. Reports or messages from the Senate.
Message number 8, Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the temporary Senate and joint rules of the 62nd Wyoming State Legislature with the following amendments as the permanent Senate and joint rules of the 63rd Wyoming State Legislature. And you can see the attached on that, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 106. Third reading passed. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate in the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 32, Small Employer Group Health Insurance, ayes 30, noes 0, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 107, third reading passed and amended. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 49, Initiative and Referendum Revisions, ayes 30, noes 0, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Joint Number 5, Mandatory Judicial Retirement, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters, one no vote, Representative Halverson, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 9, Alternative Fuel Taxation, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, Wilson, one no vote, Representative Blackburn, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 66, State Mythical Creature, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Petroff, Schwartz, two no votes, Representative Larson, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 104, Big and Trophy Game Licenses Reservation, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Hall to hear the following bills. House Bill 22, 6, 18, 5, 7, 52, and 51.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Representative Kasparek.
Okay. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 22. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 22 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, amending eligibility for disabled veterans' license plates and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 22, Disabled Veteran License Plates, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Davis Wannitzer, signed by Davis Wannitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 22 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I'd like to turn over the flooring of the bill to the gentleman that's well outfitted to handle it.
Thank you. Representative Pelkey. Already messed it up. Representative Allen, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, what it's trying to fix is to allow, it actually clarifies what vehicles you can put a disabled veteran plate on. And right now, there is a requirement in state statute that to receive these disabled veteran license plates, you have to be 50% disabled, according to the Veterans Administration or Veterans Affair. So at any rate, the other thing this bill will do is it will allow the county clerk to require that applicant to be a resident on initial application and on renewal. In other words, we want to limit this to residents. So, anyway, it will allow now passenger car, a pickup truck, a motorcycle, or a multi-purpose vehicle to qualify for one of these free plates. Now, the state reimburses the county for that plate, so there's no cost to the county. And according to the county clerk in this county, there were approximately 3,300 of these plates issued last year in Wyoming, and 2,500 of those approximately were in this county. There is not a big problem of non-residents applying for these tags, but at any rate, they want to fix it so that it is a special privilege of living in this great state. I stand for any questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on the bill? Okay, are you ready for the question? Question having been called. All those All those in favor of Representative Swanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 22 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 22 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6. We will hear the reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 6 from the Revenue Department, an act relating to taxation and revenue, providing for the assessment of airline companies, and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 6, Airline Companies - Assessment, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 6 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. And keep in mind, it's a corrected copy. We have the old-fashioned copy, and we've got the new one that says corrected on it. So when we discuss it, you'll understand it. Madam Chairman, if it's okay, I'd like to have the representative from District 40 explain the bill and the amendment, and he'll call for a vote at the appropriate time on the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Northrop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This bill is we're trying to clean up a mistake we made. We actually went back in 2012 and deleted a portion that said any plant, property, or facility for the transportation or conveyance to or for the public of passengers or property for hire, except taxi cabs, will be operating solely in cities and towns. And when we did that, we inadvertently took out airlines. And so what we're trying to do is go back and pick up airlines. And we in the committee understood the airlines. We understood what airlines means. But when you look at it realistically, we're still looking at, as the amendment says, House District Number 1 says companies used for the public transportation of passengers or property for hire. So we're just trying to pick up those airlines that are flying for hire, and that pretty much explains the bill. I stand for questions.
So we're on Committee of the Whole Committee of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Are there any questions on Standing Committee Number 1 Amendment? Okay. Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Number 1, please say aye. Opposed? Standing Committee Number 1 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are back on the bill. Representative Northrop.
So as I said, we're just trying to clean up language on that. We're really just trying to get airlines being a taxable event again, and that is, of course, airlines that are used to transport people or property to and from point A to point B. I stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Representative McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just quickly, if we did this in 2012, what were the fiscal impacts on the state of Wyoming since that time?
Representative Northrop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. During that time, the department understood the mistake and went ahead and taxed at the usual rate that they had been taxing before. They just worked with everybody and said, you know what, they made a mistake. Let's work through it.
Is there other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Okay, you've heard the motion. Find out where I am. The question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 6 do pass as amended. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No.
No.
House Bill 6 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 18 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to drones, specifying requirements for use of drones by law enforcement agencies, limiting use of information obtained with a drone by governmental entities, requiring reports, and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, the Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 18, Drone Protection Act, respectfully reports sending back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquibel, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Pelkey, Winters, two no votes, Representative Crone and Pinnell, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 18 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I'll defer to the representative from Natrona County for the explanation of the amendment and the bill.
Thank you. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I present House Bill 18, the Drone Protection Act. Since the amendment has been moved, I'll deal with that first. And I would actually move to divide the amendment. And the division would be lines 3 through 17, and line 34 is division 1. And lines 1 and 2, and 18 through 32 is division 2. I'll give you a minute to process that and then let me know when you'd like me to proceed.
The division appears, the amendment appears divisible. So we'll consider lines 3 through 17 and line 34 is division number 1 and lines 17 to 33 is division number 2.
And lines 1 and 2 are part of division 2 also.
And division or lines 1 and 2, 17 through 33, division number 2. Go ahead, Representative Croker.
I would like to deal with division 1 first. I'll get into the meat of the bill in a minute, but the gist of the bill is requiring a warrant before law enforcement can use a drone to gather information on someone. And Division 1 basically just cleans up a couple things in the bill. It just massages the language a little bit. On page 5, lines 7 through 17, there was an objection there. It limited any information that was gathered by the use of drones to 90 days, and then it had to be destroyed after 90 days. But the situation came up, well, if it's valid data that needs to be used, it shouldn't be deleted, because then some of the statute of limitations on especially some civil cases can be 2 years, and we didn't want to delete data that was being used in an investigation. So it just deletes that section. It doesn't require the data to be destroyed in any time period. And then the other mistake that was made on the bill is there is a section about some reporting requirements. And in committee, we had talked about putting a sunset on the reporting requirements, and they accidentally drafted the bill with a sunset on the entire bill. So this first part of the amendment just fixes those couple of things there. So I'd like to, if there's no questions, I'd like to call for the question on Division 1, and then I will explain Division 2, because that's the controversial one.
Okay. Is there any discussion on division number 1 of Standing Committee Amendment number 1? Question being called. All those in favor of Division Number 1 of Standing Committee 1, please vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. Okay. Division 1 of Standing Committee Number 1 has passed. We can move on to Division Number 2, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to explain the bill, and then I will explain Division 2 so we can have some nice, healthy debate over that portion there. I think we've all read the book or at least know of it. I can't say what the title is, but it had a title that was a year that happens about 30 years ago about the government. Basically, the premise of the book was the government is watching you, and they always had cameras on you, and it was kind of scary at the time, and it didn't seem realistic. And I think as our society's gone on, we've hit the point where it's not too hard to picture that's what our society is going to look like. And I would hope that we all would like to protect our privacy and value that government does not have the ability to just spy on you and watch you at all times. And that's what this bill tries to address. And it sets some rules on how law enforcement can use drones, and basically says that before a law enforcement agency shall use a drone to acquire or disclose information, they have to either obtain a warrant or have probable cause that a person is committing a felony or about to commit a felony. And that's based on 120 years of case law in Wyoming, that if there are exigent circumstances, you do not need to go get a warrant. If you see somebody robbing a bank and he runs out of the bank with a bag full of money, you don't need to stop and go get a warrant before you can arrest him. You can obviously pursue him. And so when those types of conditions are present, it would be a natural extension to allow for use of a drone, because that makes sense. It also allows for the use of drones when they're not used in situations where you're violating somebody's privacy. For an example, on page 4, it talks about search and rescue, state of emergency for public safety, using a drone for accidents, reconstruction, training purposes, those kind of things. I think we'd all agree that if search and rescue is out conducting an operation, that's a completely legitimate use of a drone, and we don't want to restrict that. The restriction is just restricting of the government being able to spy on anyone at all times. There are also in your box a couple of handouts that I passed out from two different organizations regarding this bill that kind of outline in a little bit more detail the need for the bill and why we have it. Now that I've given a general overview of the bill, I'll get to the rest of the amendments, and we can debate the amendment, and then we can go back to the bill. Division 2 of the amendment would prohibit the use of weaponized drones. And this was a concern that I had and some others on the committee shared, that it doesn't seem like something we should have to deal with, but if you look at all the surplus military equipment that's being given to local police departments and the militarization of local police, I just thought it was worth addressing. And so this amendment would prohibit law enforcement from using a drone that is equipped with a weapon. I think it's important to put a blanket prohibition first, and then if there are specific cases that we need to deal with, we can always come back and address those. But I would rather err on the side of caution there. And there is at least one company online now that is selling weaponized drones for law enforcement use, so it is something that is very real. So on the amendment, and the other thing the amendment does is it does allow an exception for the National Guard if they're using, because the National Guard is military, obviously it's appropriate to use a military tool in military circumstances, so it doesn't restrict the National Guard if they're called up to active duty or, you know, training at their camp, for example. Anyway, I'll stand for questions on the amendment, if there are any.
Are there questions on the amendment? Representative, or Chairman Desmonitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question on a taser, if that quantifies as a weapon under subsection B, I would imagine it might depend on if you believe it could produce death or not, but I was thinking if we do have law enforcement that's not a weapon, but they had a taser-type device, if that would qualify or not.
Representative Croker.
Thank you. We did not specifically address that in the committee. I would assume that the amendment would probably prohibit that. If somebody wants to provide an additional amendment to define weapon as a lethal weapon, I would consider that a friendly amendment.
Majority Whip Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess that just sort of add to what the good chairman just asked. I mean, the wording in this says capable of producing death, serious injury, and or substantial damage to property. I guess was there any discussion or consideration not of necessarily lethal weapon, but of simply of weapons that can be used for crowd control? There are some of these newer devices being developed that are coming out with using heat rays and targeted tunneled sound waves and so forth that could potentially be used for riot control, for crowd control, things like that. So were those types of instruments brought up in that discussion?
Representative Croker.
Thank you. There wasn't any discussion about that at all in the committee, so I'm not exactly sure how the amendment would affect that.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On and against the amendment, the testimony before the committee was that currently in our state we have none of these drones actually in use by law enforcement. I know that good representative from the center of the state mentioned that there are these drones that are capable of having these weapons, but it's my understanding that none of those have been employed across the nation at this stage. So it seems to me that this may be a bit premature, and I would urge the body to vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Another question. Wouldn't a drone of size and speed in and of itself be considered a weapon?
Representative Croker.
Thank you. I suppose on the size and speed, I guess I would leave that up to you guys to decide for yourself. It wasn't something we debated in the committee. I would also suggest that just because law enforcement is not currently using weaponized drones is not a reason to not deal with it now. There's a lot of technology's changing and it's coming soon, and I think it's better to have a prohibition against it, and then if we need to relax that and allow for specific examples, we can debate that on a case-by-case basis rather than having the opposite true where they have blanket authority to use anything.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As I read this prohibition on the weaponization, my question is, it's very broad. It's governmental entity. So would that mean that a predator board would be unable to utilize, whether it be a incinerator device in a den or a poisoning of with something and drop it where there were predators appropriately, or even a some type of a firearm from this center? Because I see this in my livelihood is I need every tool I can to do this. So I understand the broadness of some of what you're trying to accomplish, but I think it's very broad when you go to the next step and say no governmental entity, which to me makes this it challenges me with this particular amendment. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On against Division 2. There was some talk in the committee about maybe this bill's ahead of its time and the amendment also being ahead of its time, but we don't know what the future holds. We did talk about the possibility of law enforcement having to use a weaponized drone in case of a hostage situation, maybe a terrorist attack, maybe an alien attack, a zombie apocalypse, I don't know. But there are things out there that we have to keep this discussion open, and the law enforcement, they're the ones that are the first responders. It takes a little while to get the National Guard mobilized. So the bill does exempt the National Guard from having a weaponized drone, but I think the amendment's a little bit ahead of its time, too.
Representative Lindholm.
Madam Chairwoman, to answer or sort of answer the good representative's question from Rollins regarding this amendment, it says on subsection B, lines 31 and 32, substantial damage to property other than the drone itself. Speaking in favor of this amendment, at one time we didn't think that there would be MRAPs rolling down the streets of Cheyenne, and yet they're the city of the South, I suppose. And yet there they are. Thank you.
Representative Klem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the question that I have is, it would seem that you would want to equip law enforcement with every tool possible to mitigate some kind of crisis situation. And so, therefore, I guess the question really is doesn't this limit how law enforcement, or doesn't this limit law enforcement from mitigating a crisis situation? I guess that's where I come down on this. Why would we want to take away from the tools of law enforcement? It seems that all we want to do with this bill is just to keep it as a surveillance option rather than something that could avert violence toward others or even violence toward police officers. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To address a couple concerns that have come up, yes, it is very broad. I definitely am open to specific amendments dealing with things such as disposing of predators and whatnot, but I would rather err on the side of being too broad than not broad enough. As far as the question of why do we want to limit law enforcement, well, we have a concept in our country that I think is very important, and that is that law enforcement and the military are kept separate. There's a reason that the military is not allowed to serve as a police force, and because the military is designed for maximum damage. They're designed, I suppose a nice way to put it is to kill people and break things, and that's not law enforcement's job per se. So we do treat the military and law enforcement differently, so I think it is appropriate to have them with different tools. There are a lot of tools that we give our military that we do not give to law enforcement, and I do think that is completely appropriate.
Representative Palmeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm speaking against the amendment. I believe that law enforcement, of course, we heard in committee that law enforcement don't have any drones at this point. Will they have some in the future? That's a possibility. But we look at this amendment and the different things around the world that are happening. It's, you know, eventually a lot of things are happening in the United States now. I don't think we want to curtail items that law enforcement can use. Because right now there is a question on what's lethal, what isn't lethal. For example, the taser and things of that nature. So I'm against this. I'm also against the bill as a whole. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on Division 2 of Standing Committee Amendment 1? Any further discussion? Okay, question having been called, we're voting on Division 2 of Standing Committee Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed?
Ready for?
Thank you. In addition to bad vision, I have bad hearing. Division 2 of Standing Committee 1 Amendment has failed. We are back on the bill. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Back on the bill now. I think this is a very important bill because it does put in place rules before the government or law enforcement can use drones to invade our privacy. I think our privacy is very important and worth being valued. Some of the things that came up is there aren't drones being used right now, but the technology is here, the technology is close, and I think one of the key differences between drone technology and where it's going is it's so easy to put them in the sky and to use them. There is a concept that is held up in court that if law enforcement is flying in an airplane to go somewhere and they look down and see something, then they can use that information to start prosecuting a crime. And the kind of natural check on that ability is the fact that it's very expensive to put an airplane up in the sky. It's not practical to have somebody just flying a plane around 24 hours a day just looking, spying on people and looking for things. But the technology is very close to be able to do that with a drone, where you can have drones that are very cheap. There are drones now that can have very high-definition cameras on them and stay in the sky for up to 72 hours that you can get for about $600. So this technology is very real, and I think it's very important that we put rules in place to not just allow for drones to be flown around at all times looking for something. I think we value our privacy, and I think it's important to put in place protection so that we allow law enforcement and government to use drones for legitimate purposes, but not to be able to abuse them in invading people's privacy. So that's the gist of the bill, and I will stand for any questions.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question deals with the other people, I guess, there is no restriction on using drones. And what specifically I'm talking about here is private people spying on their neighbors just as individuals. In other words, you know, it just looks to me like we haven't addressed peeping Toms and, you know, people of that type that are, you know, could make very good use of a drone. And all we're addressing in this bill is law enforcement. And I looked over the weekend in that title or the article in the Title 7, and I couldn't find where we've already done that. So could you address that? How come that wasn't covered, or is that something you're going to do in the next interim?
Speaker Pro Tem Stupson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just looking at the broad language, and I support certainly the notion behind the bill, but as we look on page 2 in the definition of what a law enforcement agency is, and we don't just throw in law enforcement as we typically think. We talk about anybody enforcing regulatory laws, land, water, public health, and it doesn't necessarily even limit it to when in the action of enforcing laws. And so I'm just wondering if you heard in committee, for example, you know, Department of Ag would probably fall under that because they enforce some public health laws. But if they wanted to use a drone to send up to inspect snowpack, see what snowpack looked like, or to do on-the-ground surveys to see what a certain invasive species, how much it's spreading, it seems to me like this precludes them from doing that and would require them to go get a search warrant, which, of course, it doesn't make any sense. And so it just seems to me like those sorts of data collection activities weren't contemplated at all and aren't addressed by the bill. Is that accurate?
Representative Croker.
Thank you. I'll address both of those questions. I'll address the one that was just asked first. We did talk about that in committee, and by having on page 4, The exceptions we thought were in there to make sure that those types of circumstances were prevented. If we need to tweak the language a little bit, we're definitely open to and would consider that a friendly amendment because that is definitely the intent of the bill. As far as the question about individuals spying on their neighbors, I would think that that would be covered in other parts of law, but the point of the bill was specifically dealing, just like we don't deal with when a law enforcement agency has to get a warrant before they can conduct surveillance on somebody or follow somebody or put a tracking device on that car, it's the same principle. We have laws that deal with the procedures that law enforcement use in using tools to surveil people, and so this bill was designed to deal with specifically with that. I think that if it is something that needs to be addressed, I would consider it a separate topic that I think would need a separate bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. So I'm looking at page 3, and I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. I'm in favor of the bill and I'm in favor of law enforcement having to get a warrant to be able to obtain evidence against people. So I see when we look at this on the Romanette, that's as opposed to a Dudette, but a Romanette, one says we can get a warrant. So you go and you have probable cause and the judge says we can do this. I'm fine with that. But then on number 2, I'm questioning. So then this is law enforcement on their own can just say, hey, I had probable cause to believe this person was committing a felony. And that doesn't have any court oversight. And I'd like to see court oversight in that situation. I don't know if that was discussed. Now, we've got these other circumstances, search and rescue, I'm fine with that. If there's a state of emergency, I'm fine with that. One that's more troubling is 4, maybe, is the use of the drone is likely to assist in the prevention of a felony. Does that mean, you know, is law enforcement has probable cause to believe that this person's engaging in illegal activity, and so they put a drone up to monitor them to try to swoop in beforehand? I just was curious if that had been discussed in the committee, if that was on purpose, is that we've got probable cause, great. We've got emergencies, great. But then we've got a little bit of a gray area here where it really seems to fall back to the discretion of law enforcement. It really gives them a way out to use a drone. And then later say, well, yeah, we had probable cause. So just food for thought.
Representative Crocker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, we did have those discussions in the committee, and the conclusion that we came to on the committee is that there's basically 120 years of precedence on this. It's the same concept of if law enforcement sees a fleeing suspect and he runs into a building, that they don't need to then go get a warrant to pursue him because they have probable cause. And the check on that is that when the case goes to court and information is disclosed, the defense attorney is there to be able to challenge if the information was gathered legally or illegally, and that would still all those points would still apply to this protection here, where the same standard of probable cause in looking at the evidence would still apply. The difference is, with aerial vehicles, they have always allowed evidence without having any legal restrictions on it if a plane was flying over and observed something. And so we want to make sure that we have that protection against drones. And I think by tying it into existing legal standard, we're covered.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't really mean to divert from what the conversation was about, but perhaps this is germane to the thought. On page 5, lines 1 and line 2, excuse me, and line 3, in the use of the sentence there, it would seem to me on line 2 that placing the word legal use of the drone by a governmental agency shall be admissible in a judicial or administrative proceeding. The administrative proceeding within the context of what you're trying to do for the legality or the criminality of the use of it, I was just trying to clear it up that maybe it would be a little bit more consistent and suggest the consideration of an amendment.
Representative Croker?
Thank you, Chairman. Madam Chairman. Yes, I would be more than happy to and consider any amendment friendly to clear up that language. I think we know what the intent is, and if we need to massage the language a little bit to make it better, I'm fine with that. And so if you have one, I'd happily work with you on massaging that language as appropriate.
Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know in committee we took a lot of testimony on this, and I did make a statement that I thought we was putting the cart before the horse on this bill. Currently, and it's been stated here, that there's already laws on the books that cover everything that's in this bill as far as the search and seizure. Law enforcement currently has to go get a search warrant to gather information if they're going to enter a house. If they did have a drone, and as I stated earlier, no law enforcement agency does at this time, they would automatically have to get that search warrant. This would be just duplication of laws that we already have. Also, the other thing it stated on, we do have exigent circumstances. So if we have an emergency or something, we don't need a search warrant, which has already been stated. We already have that. So I firmly believe that really there's no need for the bill. I know when I was sent down here, my constituents said, you know, we're making too many laws down here. You need to eliminate some. Here's one that I don't think we need to make. So thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question again for the presenter on page 5 on A. When it talks about not being able to use the information from a governmental entity in an administrative proceeding or a judicial proceeding, your governmental agency definition is state governmental agencies. And so I was wondering if in your discussion, if you discussed if that information from a drone was gathered by a federal agency, if that information would be able to be used in a state court of law against an individual.
Representative Laux, and then back to Representative Croker.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I rise in favor of this bill, and I really appreciate judiciary. This has been around a while, and most of us have seen it before in some form or other, but I thank you for their hard work on this. And I ask the body to pass this through right here. We do see a couple things that could be adjusted in it, but, you know, these are things that, as somebody said, that they aren't around now and there aren't any in the state, but there's going to be. I mean, I have friends that fly drones, and the things they're doing with them right now, it's pretty interesting. But I ask you to vote in favor of this. Let's see if we can tweak it a little more. I believe the people that elected me to come down here did elect me to look for their privacy, and that's what this is about. This is a privacy issue, and we need to protect our constituents' privacies. Thank you very much.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We did not have the specific discussion in committee about if it were a federal drone. I imagine it would depend on how the evidence was gathered and if it meets the standards. And I believe the same standards would apply, but that might be something that's worth stepping your head in the LSL office and asking for opinion there and if we need to come up with an amendment to address that, we can do so. I would like to push back a little bit on the testimony that this bill is unnecessary because airplanes are treated differently than other things of evidence. You do need a warrant to specifically gather evidence. If a law enforcement agency wants to enter somebody's home, wants to place a tracking device on a vehicle, there's a lot of things that law enforcement is allowed to do that they have to get a warrant first. But under current law, any information that's gathered from an airplane flying in the air, there is no warrant that is required. And so there is a huge difference between you know, somebody flying in an airplane, that's not practical to just stick up in the sky the whole time, and the technology with drones, where it's very easy to picture a drone just parked up in the sky spying on people all the time. And right now, under Wyoming law, it would be legal to park that drone in the sky, collect all kinds of information, and use it any way they want to do it. And I think it's appropriate to limit that.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. On and for the bill, you know, we're still trying to make it as good as we can. There's obviously a few tweaks that need it, but it comes down to a basic Fourth Amendment issue. Do you want law enforcement to be able to uncontrolled use drones to basically look at anything, even if there's no sign of a crime being committed at this point? You've all seen the stuff on TV, the micro drones that are out there. These things are the size of flies now in some cases. Frankly, I'd be surprised if at least some law enforcement in Wyoming doesn't have one of these in the trunk. If they don't, I'm not for sure they're doing their job right, because they are useful things. If they are in hot pursuit, they can pop their trunk lid and deploy their drone to go after that guy out in the field that's running from the bank robbery or whatever the cop has observed that happened. So, yeah, drones are here. They're going to be here. Are we going to let them be unregulated, go against the Fourth Amendment, or are we going to try to regulate them from the very start and get on top of this?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to point out that currently the federal regulations for aviation do have some bearing on this factor. Currently, the federal regulations require any aircraft over a residential area to fly at 1,000 feet or greater, and anything out in a rural environment, you can be down at 500 feet. So there are already some regulations from the federal side that discuss that. I am less concerned about the privacy issue than I am about the safety issue. If there's a whole bunch of drones up there in the air and then you have small private aircraft out there flying around and they have a collision with one of these, we're going to end up with an airplane in somebody's backyard crashing. And that, to me, is far more of a concern than the privacy side of it. I do not believe that the police departments or the sheriffs would be sending a drone up for 72 hours to just sit there, because there is a significant safety risk, just as I discussed. You have that drone sitting there 500 feet above the ground, and if you're in this community or in the community I come from or many of the others, that airspace is regulated. That airspace is very closely monitored, and if you have a drone sitting there, you're going to inhibit the use of that airport potentially. So I would urge you to vote against this bill. I think it's ahead of its time. I don't see it as a problem. And for those of you worrying about the privacy side of it, I would also challenge you and say that the law enforcement is potentially entering your home every day as they're out there fishing for sex predators on a regular basis through computer chat rooms and things like that. So privacy is already being infringed upon, and this is something that could be used to benefit us and make a safer community.
Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just want to kind of lay out the landscape here. I'm really uncomfortable with this bill, and I'm not sure it's ready for prime time. So let's back up a minute and look at the law. The first thing that comes to my mind is a doctrine called the Plain View Doctrine. And the Plain View Doctrine's been around for a long time, and it basically says if a law enforcement officer is in a place where he or she can lawfully be, and in plain view is contraband or some commission of a crime, then the evidence that law enforcement officer saw is admissible. Okay? Now, we say we're going to require them to get a warrant. Well, so you know this is going to happen. This stuff happens all the time. They're going to get a warrant. They're going to take off with the drone heading out under their warrant, they're going to see something else that's illegal. Are we going to say that admission of evidence of that other illegal activity is inadmissible? And then you have, I happen to know because my cousin's farm to the east of here where there's things grow a lot more than they do here, And one of the big problems they have in these big corn farming areas is that marijuana grows faster than corn. So farmer goes out and plants these huge corn fields, and then after the corn gets up to a certain level, in the middle of the night, here comes a car down a county road and stops, and somebody jumps out, and they go out in the middle of the cornfield, hoe it all up, plant marijuana, and leave. And then that marijuana is mature before the corn is, so then you never see them again until they come down a county road and stop in the middle of the night, go out and harvest the marijuana. The farmer never knows about it until he goes out to combine the corn and he finds a great big empty area out in the middle of his field where they've been growing marijuana all summer. Now, that's something to think about. I don't know how law enforcement's going to see that if we're going to say that they can't use a drone. Now they use airplanes. I told my cousin he's going to get killed. He's got an ultralight and he flies around looking for these things, and somebody's going to pop him one of these days. So does he have to do it? If he does it in an ultralight, it's okay, but if they do it in a drone, it's illegal, if it's law enforcement. So I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of limiting the use of drones in this manner. And I really think, and you talk about us struggling with it, the FAA has struggled with this for over 2 years and finally came out with their rules. And to the last speaker, the FAA rules now, I'm almost positive, the rule came out about 6 months ago, and you have to have a private pilot's license to fly one of these things because they're in the airspace and they're conflicting with other aircraft in the airspace. So what are we going to do about that? The FAA is going to regulate that. They regulate the airspace. We don't have to do that. And is it fair if a law enforcement officer is flying by? And I've done this myself. If he's flying by at 1,000 feet off the ground, you can see a lot at 1,000 feet. If he's flying by at 1,000 feet off the ground in an airplane, using the plain view doctrine, anything that he sees is admissible or can be the grounds for probable cause to go get a warrant. But if a drone's flying by at the same level, it's not going to be admissible. I'm really uncomfortable with that. And I don't think this bill's ready for prime time. I don't blame anybody for that. It's an extremely gnarly subject, and we won't get it right the first time no matter what we do. But I'm not comfortable with this bill. I think we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to restrict the admissibility of evidence, but not restrict the use of the drone, because I don't see how in statute we're ever going to distinguish between the use of a drone for a lawful purpose and the use of a drone for an unlawful purpose, or the use of a drone for a lawful that starts out as a lawful purpose and find something else that's then ruled unlawful. How are we going to do that? And so I think it's going to have to go just like the plain view doctrine. The courts have struggled with that for years in terms of, was the law enforcement officer in the place or not? What if he's standing on the sidewalk with a pair of binoculars looking in your bedroom window? Well, the courts have addressed that. But we're trying to regulate the admissibility or the existence of evidence by how we use the drone. And I don't think we can do that. I think we're going to have to go up another level and say evidence is admissible under certain circumstances and it's not admissible under other circumstances. And so for all those reasons, I'm just, especially the plain view doctrine, which has been around for a long time, and it's solved a lot of crimes. And yeah, they can park a drone on top of your house for 72 hours and watch it. They can do that in an airplane. Look at the U-2. We've been doing that for I don't know how long. So there are ways to do that with a manned aircraft. And the question is, what's the difference between a manned aircraft and a drone? And when you get to law enforcement, really the only difference is cost, and the difference in cost is immense. And so I'm uncomfortable with this bill just because I think we're trying to attack it the wrong way, and I think we're going to have to go back and write a bill that says this kind of evidence is admissible and this kind is not. And we're going to have to leave how they fly the drones, who's eligible to do it and all that, we're going to have to leave that to the FAA, because they regulate the airspace anyway, and to the extent we try to make laws that are inconsistent with FAA regulations, we won't be able to enforce them anyway. So on and against the bill.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess one final thing.
I think it's important to pass this bill because I think it's important to say that we value privacy. And I think the plain view doctrine is one of the reasons why this is important, because it's never been practical to have eyes on us at all times. But it's with the way technology is advancing, that is becoming very practical very, very rapidly. And I think we can all agree that we could probably solve a lot more crimes if we had cameras everywhere and could catch every person doing everything that they do every day in their life. But I think that we agree that we don't want to go there because our privacy and our individual rights are more important than that. So I would encourage you to pass this bill to say that we are going to put standards on, and I would encourage an aye vote.
Speaker Brown.
Well, okay, a couple more things. The word starts with G, and you can fill it in, but how about G blank? You fill in the blank, Earth. Right now, I can get my cell phone, and I can drill down from that satellite image. I can drill down right now and may be able to find something that's illegal. I can't read the license plate on your car, but some people with the proper technology, with that thing right now up there in space, can read the license plate on your car. And the other thing we have is we have this outfit in the state to the northeast that does aerial photography. And they fly our state, I think they fly it about every 6 weeks. And they take photographs, and you can buy those. And you can read the license plates on cars off of that. Now, what are you going to say? Are you going to say that's admissible or not admissible? Is it going to turn on whether the aerial photography flying machine is manned or unmanned? On and against the bill.
Representative Croker.
I would like to point out that the website that was mentioned, though, the big difference is it's not real time. It's a picture that was there taken at one time, and you can't go now and then tomorrow and the next day and see what's happening real time. You see the same picture that was taken and uploaded to their servers. So it is different from this.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I wasn't going to speak again, but... I got encouraged. You know, I heard some comments about what's the difference between that manned aircraft up there and a drone. The difference is probably 100 times or 1,000 times in cost. You know, the manned aircraft with a law enforcement officer is probably at least $500 an hour deployed. A drone, I think I've seen them as cheap as $30. For a drone the size of your hand. And when they get down to the drones that you can probably print on your home computer, maybe they'll be down to a penny a piece where you can just release them. What's going to happen can get way out of hand. And is this a huge step in the right direction? No. But it might be a small step.
Is there any other discussion on this bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 18 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 18 has passed Committee of the Whole. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Actually, do you trust the count? Okay. House Bill 18 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 5. We'll hear the reading of the bill.
House Bill number 5 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, reinstituting the property tax refund program, amending related provisions and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension respectfully reports it same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 5 do pass, and there are no amendments, and for reasons that I'll describe, I'll explain the bill.
Please go ahead, Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Madam. The reason I think I should be the one that has to explain this bill is because I'm responsible for the fact that it became necessary that we have this bill. And specifically what I'm talking about, you know, we've got a lot of our statutes have sunset clauses on them. And these sunset clauses, you know, the LSO puts out a list of every bill or every act statute that's going to sunset. And I just flat missed it last year at this time. So it didn't, it really didn't get discussed. And the reason this bill is, you know, you might ask, why is this bill number 5 so long if all we're doing is removing a sunset? Technically, this tax refund program, property tax refund program, expired midnight New Year's Eve, okay? So even though it appears in your book here, in your statute book, it's really not enforceable now because it's expired. Okay, to make a long story short, not to belabor it, all this has done is it reinsert the precise language that you will see on 3913109C Romanet 4. Okay? It's all exactly the same. The only thing is different is that the sunset date has been taken out. I'll just briefly describe it to you. You say, well, particularly for those of you that are somewhat new, the property tax refund program is a very popular program that's used by people with limited incomes. And if their incomes are sufficiently limited, they can get up to one half of their property taxes refunded on their house to them, providing they qualify. And when I say up to one half, it's because the limit has always been set as the median or average. I think it's the average property tax bill for the a half year within that county. So that's the maximum. And it's a bill, or it's a statute, a benefit that's available to, like I say, these people of limited income. They can't be any higher than three-fourths of the median household income in the county that they live in. They can't have more than $100,000 of assets per adult member of the household. And there's a number of assets that are exempted. For example, a house, a personal motor vehicle, one of them, and so on. And it's primarily, I shouldn't say altogether used, but a lot of it is used, the use of it comes from senior people that are on, you know, extremely limited income and they have trouble paying their taxes. So that's basically all it is, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. If you don't have any questions, I guess I'd move the question on the bill. Oh, there is a...
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just curious, looking at this bill, and obviously I haven't dealt with it in the past, are we going to come back and look at these numbers at some point in the not-too-distant future to adjust for inflation or whatever changes have occurred?
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The one number that's most sensitive to inflation that I think the representative's talking about is household income. And as I said before, household income is updated each year. So if household income goes up, the median, three-fourths of that value goes up as well. If it goes down, it goes down also. We have not updated the wealth part of it, the assets, but you know, certainly that's something could be looked at sometime in the future, but this is just to remove the sunset.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Just curious how much this refund could possibly be. It sounds like it could vary from county to county, because I believe I heard that it's the average per county. So does that mean like a refund in, say, a rich county in the state could be many thousands of dollars as the average, and the refund in a poor county could maybe be $50? So could it be that much variation from county to county?
Chairman Madden.
Well, there is variation from county to county, but there isn't that much variation. You know, we've got a couple of outlier counties at the top and a couple of outlier counties at the bottom that are lower, you know, noticeably lower, but not by that large amount. As far as what it costs, it's a pretty moderate, cost per year. I think it's between $1 and $2 million. And like I say, it's been in existence at least 12, 14 years. And, a lot of a lot of people with low means of paying their taxes really depend on this. So, thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 5 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 5 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our is House Bill number 7. We will hear the reading of the bill.
House Bill number 7 from Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to game and fish, providing for rules and regulations to authorize the collection of road-killed animals, providing restrictions, and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 7, Game Roadkill, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz. One no vote, Representative Larson. Signed, Representative Petroff, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanzer. Sorry, Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 7 do pass. And I further move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 on the first change in Standing Committee Amendment number 1 is on page 1, line 12. After shall, we're inserting in consultation with the State Transportation Commission so that any rules made by the Game and Fish Commission are made in consultation with State Transportation Commission. And the second change is page 2, line 14. We are modifying the word tag so it specifies that the tag we're referring to is the Wyoming Interstate Game Tag. So if there are no questions on the amendment, I'll call the question on the amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 is passed. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I'll turn the reading explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the Capital City.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Brothers and sisters of the 63rd, thank you for letting me have the first non-committee bill up before you today. House Bill 7 is on game roadkill, and what this bill sets out is for the Department of Game and Fish, through rule and regulation, to establish a program to possess road-killed animals off the side of the roadway here in Wyoming. 18 states already have some form of roadkill legislation, including our neighbors to the south, to the north, and to the northwest. I would be remiss if I didn't mention when we brought this bill 2 years ago, our neighbors to the north stole it, and they got it passed through their entire process. It languished in the other body on the side of the building 2 years ago. So it came back. What this does is set up a three-part process for the Game and Fish Commission to allow people to take roadkill animals. First, on Romanet I, on line 4, page 2, you can get a letter of prior authorization from the department. If you go in, they'll have a form in place, the rule and reg they'll set up to become an authorized entity that collects this. Already in statute, Romanet II, you could have a valid scientific or educational permit to collect roadkill. Various projects through the University of Wyoming are being undertaken to find roadkill birds or other species on the side of the roadway. We have this process in place in 23.1302A. And then the third and most important roadkill pickup would be in Romanet 3, that you actually, if you were to hit an animal or see an animal hit, you could call the Department of Game and Fish and tell them you've hit an animal or you've witnessed it or there is one on the roadway and ask basically for them to give you permission over the phone, a donation certificate to possess that animal. At the Game and Fish's discretion, then, they could meet you at the site. They could meet you at a mutually agreed-upon location, and that would be set up in the rules and regs and the parameters. On page 3, you'll notice that we are exempting certain species, including wolves that are trophy game animals, bighorn sheep, grizzly bears, mountain goats, anything under the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and any threatened or endangered species. Subsection C on page 3, it's just an extra qualifier to prove that the animal was hit through a road collision with a motor vehicle. You can't just find a dead animal on the roadway and say, oh, it was roadkill and take it. It puts a burden of proof on the individual to describe that it was roadkill by a motor vehicle. And then we have a couple of quantifiers on Section D on page 3 and on page 4 that you have to have an interstate game tag to transport a killed carcass animal. Bill goes into effect if passed July 1st. That gives enough time for the Game and Fish Commission to set up rules and regs. I'd be happy to answer any questions members of the body have.
Representative Larson.
Madam Chairman, I think I'm voting against this bill if it comes up. Well, it's here. a little bit of nervousness here. It was stated by the department that you can already do this if you call them and ask for an interstate tag, and they'll come out and help you with that. The other issue I have is YDOT, I think, should do their, they do a good job at cleaning up these carcasses, and I think they do it in a safer way. Having the public stop on the roads and pick up these carcasses, I think, will be very dangerous. Thank you.
Chairman Sponsor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Slight disagreement. The department can only pick up roadkill animals if they already have a valid scientific or educational permit. Otherwise, if you were to call Game and Fish now, they would say, no, you cannot take that animal, and they would notify the highway department to pick it up. Just for the members' edification, if an animal is killed on a roadway in Wyoming, it is YDOT's responsibility to take it off of the highway and out of the right-of-way. Sometimes it does take them a while, especially in certain parts of the state, to bring the right equipment. The highway patrol just can't throw it on top of their patrol car. Usually YDOT has to come with some type of industrial vehicle, depending on the carcass, and take that away. The second point made, yes, it's a danger to have motorists stopping on the roadway, but it's also a danger to have other scavenger animals coming and attacking that carcass, creating other roadway difficulties. A lot of times if a carcass is on a roadway for more than a day, you find other smaller carnivores, birds, coyotes, other things that can inhibit traffic or cause accidents feeding on that carcass and cause greater problems. So it's in everyone's best interest in Wyoming to get roadkill animals off the roadway, off the right-of-ways as quick as possible. This sets up a valid way that has checks and balances through the department to allow that to happen, as 18 other states have.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of questions for the chairman. First of all, do you have any concerns with the manpower issues related particularly with Game and Fish having to follow up with certain requests that would occur under the bill? And secondly, are there any concerns with the aspect of fraud that you may have people intentionally hitting animals in order for them to take those animals? I know that there's a burden of proof issue in the bill, but if you could just address those two issues, thanks.
Chairman responded, sir.
Yes, in response, the department, of course, has some concerns about manpower. Currently, it's Wideout's responsibility. We are now putting some burden on the game and fish. If someone calls it at their discretion, they can meet that person. You know, if it sounds suspicious, the game warden or the biologist would, in their best estimation, decide whether or not they should, you know, appear or meet that individual at a certain location. So it can strain the resources of the game and fish further than what currently is being undertaken, you know, but they could, within certain parameters, say, let's meet tomorrow. Through that phone call, in order to get that donation certificate, you would have to, basically through whatever rules and regulations the department puts on this, agree to meet at the Game and Fish's time. So you could wait there, you could take it at home, or the Game and Fish could say, yeah, that's a really busy roadway. We drove it this morning. We saw a lot of roadkill deer. You know, we assume that you can take it. And so, yeah, there is probably some administrative burden on the department. Right now when you call, they just say no, and I would assume some individuals still throw it in the back of their pickup illegally, or the burden is now on YDOT. So in some ways you may be switching the burden from the Department of Transportation, which, and sometimes has not always been superbly quick in picking up these animals, onto the Game and Fish.
Representative Edwards.
Got to turn it on. Madam Chair, whenever, it was probably 15 years ago, 20 years ago, up in the land of the camels, there was a man that was going down I-90, and he hit a deer, threw it in the back of his car, hit it with the car, took it to the Game and Fish and asked him if he could have that animal. They fined him for taking an animal out of season with an improper apparatus. He got his ticket, along with these damages to his car. I think it is a good idea that they are able to take it and eat it if they so desire. And as a county commissioner, our road and bridge was busy quite a bit with removing dead animals that the Game and Fish would not remove. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for some clarification, I'm speaking with one of our other fine legislators. If you find roadkill and say it's a deer with antlers, I was told you could cut off the antlers, but you cannot collect the carcass unless you have one of those educational permits. So really what this bill allows is for someone, if they hit a deer, they could actually take the carcass of that animal, take the hide, use the meat, whatever their pleasure might be. So that just a little bit of clarification.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple of questions. One, I don't have a feeling about the order of magnitude of how much this would load up the people that have to do the cleanup, the follow-up, the compliance with the law. And then that leads me to the reason I really stood up here is there's a fiscal statement saying there's no cost, and I wonder about that. It seems to me like there would be, but that was no fiscal note that I picked up on.
Chairman Sponsor?
Thanks. To address most of those issues, Madam Chair, you know, in any Game and Fish statute, we're always afraid of poaching. There are some bad actors in our state, and is it possible for them to find a way to try to say it was a roadkill animal? Yes, there's a way. The department has rules and processes in place to investigate and take that to a court of law. Certainly, we tried to take out species like the bighorn sheep, you know, things that might not move off the roadway. Other animals, deer, elk, if you try to gun them down on a roadway, you're putting yourself in danger, and hopefully that animal isn't dumb enough to stand there while you hit it. But in some cases, it might be, and you could damage your truck, and some people might feel that it's appropriate to get an elk at the cost of, you know, an insurance claim. In our state to the north, there were two. They passed this similar bill 2 years ago. They've had 280 applications in their first year. people who found roadkill who wanted to possess it and were given donation certificates. I guess, a general idea for the good chairman of minerals, in a 20-year period here in Wyoming, at least at the minimal count, there's 2,500 deer, 750 elk, and 350 moose which were hit on our motor vehicle, on our roadways, on county roads and state highways within Wyoming in that 20-year period. And so, you know, we do hit a lot of roadkill in certain part, hit a lot of animals in certain parts of the state. This allows for a different process. In some ways that hopefully, you know, the most important thing is to clear the roadway and the right-of-way of that carcass. And so if people can put this to beneficial use, hide, hooves, et cetera, it's just one more step that we can help members of the public, help clear our roadways, and hopefully is a win-win for the citizens. I think there are a lot of parameters on this that the Game and Fish, through rule and regulation, can place. In some ways, I'm a little worried they can place too many at the harm of the program, but I do think we have adequate safety mechanisms in place to address situations. We've worked with Game and Fish for 3 years on this. Other states on both sides of us have it. Through testimony, you know, our Game and Fish is familiar with the process going on in Montana, have talked to those entities, and while they're not, you know, taking a position for or against, they at least, I think, have an understanding of what is involved and what they're getting themselves into. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions or call for the question.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Petroff's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill, House Bill number 7 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed? No?
No.
House Bill 7 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 52 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation, providing that the lease of tangible assets between related business entities is not subject to taxation as specified, providing a definition and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, to Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 52, Sales Tax Exception, Related Business Entities, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 52 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I will explain the bill. In order to do that, in the meantime, I'd like to make sure you find in your mailbox or your box a handout that looks like this. It's got my initial on the front. It says House Bill 52, and that will be helpful when I discuss this. But the first thing I want to do is talk about the amendment, and you will see that the Amendment 52, or the Standing Committee Amendment for Bill 52 simply changes a word in the catch title. We put in exception, and it was supposed to be exclusion. And this is just, it was kind of a clerical, technical correction, but I thought it better be done formally so we end up, when we go over to the other side, that the engrossed copy is at least right. So I would, unless there's questions on this Standing Committee Amendment, I'd move for approval of, I move you vote on this. Call for the question.
Okay. You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Very quickly, I'll go through the reason for the bill, why it came about. We have... Just take a look at the
First of all, this applies to the excise tax, okay? And whether or not there's a double payment of excise taxes that are possible because of a business organization. And the reason I pass out this handout, you'll look on the left-hand side and you'll see the good old days. This is where you got some kind of company that's got a, it's an operating entity and it's got equipment. It might have real estate. It might have all these things. And when he buys equipment, just like any other business, they have to pay the excise tax on it. And they pay it once, and it's paid for. Okay? Well, that was what we call this diagram calls the good old days. Now we have the newfangled days on the right-hand side. And what businesses have found it necessary to do is to, or advantageous to do from the standpoint of the federal government, is to split off portions of their business entity into subsidiaries. So if you look at the right-hand side, you can kind of act, or, you know, assume that the A corporation on top, the operating entity, is the basic industry, or the basic division, all right, or the parent division, I guess is what I should be calling it. And then you've got the subsidiary divisions, and as an example, we just call one equipment, and the other one we call real estate. But let's just forget about the real estate and talk about the equipment, because that's where the importance of this bill comes into play. If we look at the excise tax statutes in 3915-101, we see that in that statute there's no provision, 3915, there's no provision for not charging a excise tax when the equipment subsidiary sells their services to the operating entity, the parent company, okay? So kind of compare the two cases now briefly, if you'll follow me. The equipment subsidiary buys the equipment, they pay the excise tax, and then they rent it out or lease it out to the parent company, and according to our statutes, they are not excluded from having to pay the excise tax. So they have to be paying a tax on something they've already paid the tax on. And, you know, what is it brought that forth? It was brought forth by dividing into these entities. Okay. If you followed me so far, you say, well, why would a company want to do this then if it increases their exposure to the excise tax? Oddly enough, this goes is traced, and this is why it's increasingly more frequently observed, but it's traced to the Affordable Care Act, where, of all things, the federal government came up with a statute that I think as they call it a investment income tax or something like that, and it applies when there's income is generated from dealing with one company or one company to another company. But there's an exception in it that says that if you're dealing with one company is dealing with another company that is primarily owned by the same bunch of people, then there's an exemption and you don't have to pay that income tax. Well, in order to, for tax management purposes in connection with the Affordable Care Act, this is happening more and more, and that's what brought some CPAs to our interim meetings to say you need to do something about that. So if you look at what the bill has done here, we have broken out, there's actually N of these sets of exclusions that are in 3915-101, and to make it consistent and make it make sense, they made this new one. This you can see on page 2, the underlined new addition here is is the new part, and then N becomes M, pretty much like it appears, or as it appears in the existing statute. You'll see reference in line number 18 on page 2 that there are some caveats that is 80% of the total combined voting power of both the subsidiary and the parent company has to be in common. And that incidentally mirrors other parts of our statute, and it mirrors also what the federal government defines as a closely owned subsidiary. So that is the bill, and what it is, it just provides an exclusion that we're not going to be taxing something you've already paid the tax on once, and we've got a whole bunch of the exclusions where they're just not, the excise tax does not apply to. For example, if a business sells its whole entire outfit, lock, stock, and barrel, you don't have to pay an excise tax on it. Why? Because it's excluded. And that's more or less the realm we're putting this in as well. So that's my explanation, and I'll answer questions if I can.
Discussion on the bill. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Great bill, and contrary to popular belief, these kinds of structures are what I do in the evenings and the weekends. Now, I do not do criminal law, but... The question I have for the chairman, and you said this in your explanation about 80% common ownership. So as I read this, though, we're talking about a true parent subsidiary corporation only, wherein the subsidiary is 80% owned by the parent. My question to you is, what about if we've got 80% common ownership? So I, as an individual, own my operating company and own 80% or more of the voting stock or all the equity stock. And then I set up, not my corporation sets up, but I set up an LLC to follow the law and take advantage of certain things. Did you discuss that? And is that something maybe we ought to look at as 80% common control, not just a true parent subsidiary relationship?
Well, I think...
Chairman Madden.
Sorry. I think that, you know, what the gentleman is suggesting is that we provide a little bit more relaxation into how we view, common ownership. And, I guess, we could talk about that, but I think everybody that come and testified on the bill said the way we have it is the way they want to see it, and it will satisfy their the needs that they see most often with their clients. But that's
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question arises with the issue that was just raised by Basin County. When you talk about the 80% of a holding company, Would it help what we're trying to do here if we said incorporated in Wyoming? And the reason I raised that a gentleman in Nebraska decided that he liked Burlington Northern Railroad and bought it. I guess what really bothers me is he also bought Dairy Queen, and that really did kind of upset my portfolio, but... My question is, are we going a little bit too broad by including all the rest of the world in this?
Thank you, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In answer to the representative's question, whether we're getting too broad, I think that it's self-limiting in the sense that the only business organizations that it impacts are those that are doing business and otherwise would owe excise tax to the state of Wyoming. And, of course, we have an awful lot of excise taxes are paid by people that don't live in Wyoming. Probably most of them, in fact.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number, House Bill number 52 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 52 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 51 from the Revenue Committee. An act relating to taxation and revenue, amending the definition of well site, and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 51, Excise Tax Well Site, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reader, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Bill number 51 do pass, and there are no amendments. I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from House District 50 at this time.
Representative Northrop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is an excise tax well site bill. What has happened is that we went from a technology where we drill straight down to a technology where we went to horizontal drilling. And then when we do horizontal drilling, we build them on pads now. And these pads will have three or four or any combination. I've seen up to 10 in my experience of holes drilled out of it. And so it ends up being very much bigger than a 250-foot radius that the statute had stated before. So we went through and looked at it, talked with the companies. They said they would just like it if we would talk about taxing all the equipment that was on those well sites. And so that's essentially what we've done. We're taxing the production equipment that includes, was not limited to, well heads, valves, tanks, dehydrators, heaters, treaters, separators, flow lines, meters, flares, emissions equipment. And for production equipment for purposes of defining a well site shall not include the compressors which are off the well site and the gathering lines in the processing facilities. I stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Barlow.
Larson.
Oh, Barlow, go ahead. Go ahead, Bert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, colleague. I guess my question is, in my country, in my experience, they are drilling wells on a particular site, and then they're using a collective-type site for many of these other facilities. So I just want to make sure that in the not limited to and the things that this actually would apply to those facilities that are associated at a secondary or tertiary site in this is somehow picked up in this excise. I just want to verify that because I'm not quite clear by this definition with this bill. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The presenter of the bill indicated that the purpose of defining a well site should not include compressors because they would be off well sites, but a lot of times they use a vapor recovery compressor to take the vapors off from tank batteries and compress them up to line pressure to keep from flaring that gas. Was there any discussion on that, or was that all-inclusive of all compressors on site?
Representative Northrop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The compressors are the compressors that are not included are the big ones that you see out in the fields that they use to keep the line pressure up or to boost it. The compressors that the good representative from the middle of the state is talking about are the littler compressors that we use to just bring up the vapor and put them into the line. So that's part of the well site production. And as far as so the other compressors, the big compressors are taxed at a different rate at a different site because of their value. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Chairman Madden?
Thank you. Madam Chairman, I just wanted to point out to the representative from Campbell County that as you notice with the language we've changed here is we're defining what's subject to the excise tax in terms of the equipment that we're talking about, instead of using an arbitrary 250 feet. And in reviewing that, you know, our revenue department went out and made a visit, and he looked at all the possibilities. He drew pictures of every possible configuration you can imagine, you know, well heads here and there, you know, pads all over the place, and they have a central collection system. And we've got all the equipment that exists today that really is applicable for both the collection point and also the well pads that are, in fact, taxable. That's the way I understand it anyway.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I have the privilege of the floor, or should I wait till the vote?
Let's have you wait till the vote. We'll have you wait till the vote, Representative Allen. Is there other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 51 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Privilege of the floor. I'd like to introduce many of my constituents in House District 33 that are in those two galleries right up there. We have Arapaho Business Councilman Rick Brannon, Daryl O'Neill, and if I miss anybody, I apologize. Chessie Lee, Sergio Maldonado, girl I went to high school with, Lisa McCart. They're all here, and let me just keep going with the list. Pat, Clarissa, Ty Harris, Dennis Adams, Andrew Pera, Michael Lott, Elk Sage, Allison Sage, Millie Friday, Jay Oldcoyote, Cherokee Brown, Glenn Fowler, Fernando Roman, Letitia Black, Huda Herrera, Trinity Wagon, White Cloud Sunroads, Gabriel Spoonhunter, Feather Harding, Ross Sloss, and Belva Day. And they're all here for Martin Luther King Day, and they are also sponsoring the Northern Arapaho Business Council and Wind River Casino reception tonight at Little America, and you are all invited. Welcome here.
Welcome to the House. Majority Floor Leader Berger.
Madam Chairman Kesbrick, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole having under consideration bills on general file beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 22, Disabled Veteran License Plates, recommended do pass. House Bill 6, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 18, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill 5, recommended do pass. House Bill 7, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 52, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 51, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Kasperic, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is passed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred at House Joint 1, Regulation Freedom, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Kroon, Miller, Pinnell, Winters, one no vote, Representative Pelkey, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 30, Deposits and Depositories, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Danswanager, signed by Representative Danswanager, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 42, Unclaimed Property, Merchant Stored Value Cards, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Paxton, Danswanager, one no vote, Representative Lindholm, and it was signed by Representative Danswanager, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 63, Unclaimed Property-Advertising, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanager, signed by Representative Dan Kirkbride, Vice Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one will meet Tuesday, January 20th at 8 a.m. in room H8 to review the following bills: House Bill 26, House Bill 29, and House Bill 49. Furthermore, we'll meet again tomorrow upon noon recess. Also in room H8 to consider bills House Bill 21 and House Bill 80.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, January 20th at 8 a.m. in H11 to consider the following bills: House Bill 4, Prohibited Livestock Grazing; House Bill 8, Landowner Identification.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow at noon recess in room 302 to hear three bills: House Bill 36, House Bill 105, and House Bill 44, all dealing with emergency 911 services.
Commissioner Zwanzer, or Chairman Zwanzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, 10 minutes after adjournment, in H-17 to hear the following bills: carryover bill, House Bill number 74, Front License Plate Requirement; House Bill 100, Highway Funding, House Bill 85, Motor Vehicle Passing Bicycles, and House Bill 92, Motorcycles Passing Through Intersections.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment, which is 10 minutes from now, in room 817 to consider the following bill, House Bill 34, Convalescent Care Center.
Chairman Petroff.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Chairman Harvey.
Mr.
Go
Speaker,
ahead.
The Senate Labor Committee has invited the House Labor Committee and all interested House members to a joint meeting upon adjournment on Wednesday, where we are seeking to combine the Medicaid expansion bills. We'll be doing some eliminating and some additions to that, and so that will be instead of our regular committee, but everyone is invited, and I think that the more discussion that you hear, the more you're going to be able to form a decision. Thank you.
Now, Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday, January 21st at 8 a.m. in room H10 to hear House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation, and House Bill 82, Brewery and Microbrewery Licenses Definition.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet with the Joint Appropriations Committee upon adjournment, continue agency hearings, Agency 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board, Agency 40, Game and Fish. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee will meet at 8 a.m. Tomorrow, Tuesday, January 20th, Joint Appropriations to be presented with the governor's letters to the budget and also on adjournment as necessary. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee will meet at noon recess to consider re-referred bills, House Bill 15 and House Bill 58.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Education, House 4, will meet up in the room. We're going to look at House Bill 11, Distance Education, House Bill 73, Education Standards, and House Bill 23, Next Generation Science 2s.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, January 20th, 2015. And, Mr. Speaker, if you'd like, I can give you the list of the general file for tomorrow.
I would like.
So first, I'd like to thank all of you, ladies and gentlemen, for the hard work you did today. You're really in the saddle now. And you officially have your first general file list, and I hope we can work through that pretty much tomorrow. Again, never do we want to not give enough time to debate. So what we don't finish on a general file, we will typically move to the next day. So for tomorrow, we have House Bill 33, 66, 9, 12, House Resolution 1, House Bill 63, 42, 10, 19, 20, 104, House Resolution 5, and if time permits, House Bill 30. And with that, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
You've heard the motion to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.